The Venerable Pierre Toussaint walking tour will start at 105 Reed Street in the trendy downtown neighborhood of Tribeca.
Hello, I'm Dolores Nolan, your virtual tour guide for Saints of New York.
Tribeca is an abbreviation for the Triangle Below Canal Street. This is a very hip residential area of Manhattan. Think Robert De Niro and his Tribeca Grill and the Tribeca Film Festival that he founded in 2002. The Tribeca Film Festival ushered in a revival in this downtown district after the tragedy of 9/11. A litany of celebrities who call Tribeca home include Meryl Streep, David Letterman, Mariah Carey, and The Sopranos' James Gandolfini. The late John F. Kennedy Jr. resided here too. This affluent area is where you'll find the notable restaurants Nobu, Chanterelle, and Boulay. It's peppered with pricey boutiques. Trendy Tribeca also boasts one of New York City's finest science high schools, Stuyvesant High School. It hugs the Hudson River on Chamber Street, and you get there by a pedestrian bridge over West Street. To get to 105 Reed Street, take the A, C, E, or the number 2 or number 3 subways downtown to the Chamber Street World Trade Center station. It's best if you use the Chamber Street or Warren Street exits and stroll north to Reed Street just about one block. You know you're going in the right direction if you see brown street signs. They indicate you're in the Tribeca South Historic District of Manhattan. The Tribeca area extends from Canal Street to the north, Broadway to the east, the Hudson River on the west, and, depending upon who you talk to, Park Place or Vesey Street to the south. Pierre Toussaint lived at 105 Reed Street when he escaped the slave revolution in St. Dominique with his master and his mistress in 1787. At that time, Tribeca was transitioning from farmland to residential. New York City was expanding north, and the Tribeca area became a fashionable address. But how different it looked back then! Houses were made of brick or brick and wood and stood only 2.5 or 3.5 stories high. Now, 105 Reed Street stands twice as high and is a landmarked cast iron building. It reflects the change that occurred in the mid-1800s when Tribeca again experienced a transition to a commercial district, mostly textile, becoming the dry goods capital of the United States. Today, 105 Reed Street is a mix of commercial and residential, with the swank seafood restaurant Fresh on one side and lofty residences right next door. If you dine at Fresh, I hope your server is Dominic. He is so nice. Pierre Toussaint was born a slave in 1766 in St. Dominique, now known as Haiti. He was raised Catholic, and his master taught him to read and write. Like his grandmother and mother, Pierre was a house slave. He didn't work out in the fields. But his father and brother worked in the fields, and his father was the most trusted field hand on the plantation. Pierre was 21 years old when he arrived in New York City with his sister Rosalie, his aunt Marie, and master Jean and mistress Marie-Elizabeth Berard. Their boat docked at the pier down on Wall Street. Jean Berard felt it was important for Pierre to have a trade and arranged for him to apprentice as a hairdresser. Pierre took to the hairdressing profession very well and very quickly. He had a shop on Chapel Street and eventually owned his own home at 144 Franklin Street, not that far from Reed Street. The drawing and the only known photograph of Pierre that I've seen shows a slim, elegant man. Besides English, he was fluent in French, was skilled in music, and had impeccable manners and social graces. Pierre ran a very successful business and was in great demand among the city's fashionable ladies of high society, including Alexander Hamilton's daughter. He would style their hair and the hair of their children. Many of New York City's prestigious families were so taken by this humble black man's goodness, spirituality, intelligence, and common sense that they often sought his counsel. To many of the elite, Pierre was a trusted friend. General Schuyler of the Battle of Saratoga fame said of Pierre, "I have known Christians who were not gentlemen, gentlemen who were not Christians. I know one man who was both, and that man is black." When Pierre's master died in Haiti, after returning there with the hope of salvaging some of his property, it was the income Pierre derived from his hairstyling business that sustained the Berard, New York household. Quietly, Pierre supported his mistress by paying the rent on 105 Reed Street and paying all the household expenses. But his charity went beyond his immediate household. Pierre would take in homeless black boys. He gave them shelter, clothing, and food. He started a school to teach them trades. He found them jobs and gave them a new lease on life. Pierre's goodness was well known throughout the city. He would nurse those suffering with the plague that would often hit New York, especially in August. He was known for always assisting those in need, financial or otherwise, no matter what their race or social status. Refugees from Haiti and French refugees escaping the French Revolution knew that Pierre Toussaint could be counted on for aid and comfort, and they would show up on the doorstep of 105 Reed Street. With his earnings, Pierre bought the freedom of his sister Rosalie, his beloved wife Juliette Noel, and others. Upon his sister's death, he and Juliette adopted her daughter Euphemia and raised her and loved her as if she was their own. Pierre was instrumental in raising funds for the construction of New York City's first Roman Catholic cathedral, St. Patrick's Old Cathedral, on the corner of Mott and Prince Streets. He gave money to the construction of the city's first French Catholic church, St. Vincent de Paul, on 23rd Street. Pierre Toussaint can also be credited with the founding of Catholic Charities, having been instrumental in establishing the first Catholic orphanage in New York City. Now, mind you, he did all of this charitable work as a slave. He did not use any of his money to buy his own freedom as he did to buy the freedom of others. Pierre Toussaint was only freed from the shackles of slavery upon the death of his mistress, Marie-Elizabeth Berard. The consent of Pierre's freedom was signed on July 2, 1807. Pierre was now 41 years of age. Pierre was very devout and started every day by attending Mass at St. Peter's Church on the corner of Barclay and Church Streets. Since blacks were not permitted to ride in public conveyances, Pierre Toussaint would stroll to his appointments and to St. Peter's to attend 6 a.m. Mass. Pierre did this for 60 years. You too can stroll to St. Peter's just like Pierre. Go to the corner of Reed and Church. Go right to head south on Church Street for about 5 blocks. St. Peter's Church is the oldest Catholic parish in New York City. The cornerstone of the first church on this site was laid in October 1785. Of course, then it was surrounded by grass and trees, not by glossy luxury condos and high-rise office buildings. Pierre and Juliette were married in the old St. Peter's Church on August 5, 1811, with a wedding reception at the Reed Street home. That first church suffered tremendous damage from the Great Fire of December 1835. Pierre and Juliette Toussaint were instrumental in assisting with the reconstruction. The church that stands here now was consecrated on February 25, 1838. This new St. Peter's Church is designed in the Greek Revival style popular in America in the 1800s. Note the 6 Doric columns on the front portico, and you won't want to miss the crucifix outside along the Church Street side. This iconic crucifix was salvaged from the Ground Zero site, which you can see just a couple of blocks down the street. Before you enter St. Peter's, take note of the plaques on the front wall. They commemorate the virtuous lives of Venerable Pierre Toussaint and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the first American-born saint who was received into the Catholic faith at St. Peter's. St. Peter's is also celebrated for being the site of the first Catholic free school in New York State, and there's a plaque to honor one of the first colonial governors of the province of New York, Thomas Dungan. He was born in County Kildare, Ireland, and was a Catholic. Dungan served as governor of New York Province from 1684 to 1688. He had an estate on Staten Island. His Staten Island estate became the Castleton area, and Dongan Hills is named in his honor. Thomas Dongan called the first representative legislature in New York and granted the province's Charter of Liberties and Privileges, which granted popular rights and religious toleration. But wait, there's even more. Just inside the church, there's a plaque to commemorate the first Mass celebrated in the United States by the priests of the Congregation of the Holy Cross on September 14, 1841, as they made their way to Indiana, where they founded the University of Notre Dame in 1847. I just love the inside of St. Peter's Church. It's classically elegant, and the design makes me think of a fine ballroom. The walls are painted a pretty pale green, which is nearly the exact color when it was first opened for worship. There are chandeliers hanging from the ceiling and lanterns on the side walls. Marble is used throughout all the altars. Ionic pilasters are in the sanctuary, and Ionic columns support the choir loft. Do you see the precious-looking cherubs high above each side entrance of the altar? And there are murals on the ceiling. A special mural is right above the altar. Don't miss it. It depicts St. Peter's crucifixion. St. Peter insisted on being crucified upside down because he felt he was not worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. The stained glass windows are spectacular, with larger-than-life figures of many saints. I particularly like the Ascension of Our Lord and the stained glass window of St. Mary Magdalene. She's so beautiful. You can easily find them on the Church Street side. It's the only side where the sun can shine through. You will also see a modern statue of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton on the far right of the altar. And did you know that Spain was instrumental in establishing the Catholic Church in New York? Well, I sure didn't, but there's a plaque at the far left of the altar to remind us. In 1786, the government of Spain gave financial and spiritual support for the foundation of St. Peter's Church. Pierre Toussaint died on June 30, 1853. On the day of his funeral, St. Peter's Church was crowded with people of all races, creeds, and social status. They were there to honor this dignified and very holy man. It is said that Pierre Toussaint never felt as though he was a slave to any man or woman. He said that he was a servant of God who made us all. When one of his children was in need, he was happy to be God's slave. Pierre was buried next to his loved ones in the cemetery of St. Patrick's Old Cathedral on July 2, 1853. Now let's stroll up Broadway to that first cathedral here in New York, St. Patrick's Old Cathedral. It's a good stretch of the leg, and if you don't stop to see sights or shop and dine along the way, it could take no more than 20 to 30 minutes. Simply exit St. Peter's and go right up to Broadway. Cross to the other side of Broadway and make a left to go north. This will put you at City Hall and City Hall Park. The park is where Pierre would bring his beloved niece to enjoy the fresh air and sunshine. New York City Hall and its rotunda are designated landmarks. New York City Hall is the oldest city hall in the United States that still houses its original governmental functions. It was built from 1803 to 1812. It's just a straight stroll north on Broadway up to Prince Street. You'll pass famous streets like Canal and Spring Streets. Make a right on Prince and walk just a few blocks to Mott Street to St. Patrick's Old Cathedral. This was the first cathedral of the Archdiocese of New York, built in 1809 and designed by the same architect who designed New York's City Hall. It's one of the first sites to be named a New York City landmark and is on the National Registry of Historic Landmarks. For nearly 200 years, St. Patrick's Old Cathedral has been a beacon of faith and a safe haven for the many waves of immigrants. It served the Irish, Germans, French, and Italians. It defended against anti-Irish and anti-Catholic sentiment in the 1830s and again in the Civil War. It truly is the heart of Old New York. The cemetery and the crypt below the cathedral is the resting place of many early immigrants. St. John Neumann, a seminarian from Bohemia, came to New York and was ordained here. St. John Neumann is the first American man and first American bishop to be canonized. Pierre Toussaint worshipped here and was responsible for its construction. But he didn't escape prejudice, even in this house of worship that he helped build, when he was once turned away by an usher because he was black. Toussaint's original resting place was here at the cemetery. The cause for his canonization was launched on December 5, 1989, to make it more convenient for the faithful to venerate this servant of God. Pierre Toussaint's remains were moved to the crypt beneath the main altar of St. Patrick's Cathedral on Fifth Avenue. He is the only lay person to be buried there, along with bishops of the Archdiocese, as well as the TV star and charismatic Catholic communicator, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, who is also being considered for sainthood. And so is Archbishop Terence Cardinal Cook. Three possible American saints all laid to rest in the same crypt right here in New York City. That's remarkable. Pope John Paul II advanced the cause for Pierre's canonization on December 17, 1996, when he bestowed Pierre with the title Venerable. Should the cause for canonization for Pierre Toussaint become successful, he will become the first African-American saint. But wait, there's even more to tell. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and her Sisters of Charity founded the school across the street. And how's this for Catholic literati? The Oscar-winning director, Martin Scorsese, is an alumnus of the school and was an altar boy at the cathedral. A baptism scene in one of the Godfather movies was filmed just inside at the baptistry. The cathedral is designed in the Gothic Revival style. It was gutted by fire in 1866, then restored and reopened in 1868. It has a vaulted ceiling reaching the heavens and an ornate carved sanctuary with a painting of a triumphant risen Christ right in the center. There's a rich music program at the cathedral, accompanied by a historic urban organ built in 1852. I find St. Patrick's Old Cathedral a serene and comforting place, and I like the fact that you're surrounded by the saints, from the stained glass windows above to the statues that line all the walls. And there's even a shrine to Mother Teresa with a relic. What a great reminder of her holiness, and that Mother Teresa is on the fast track to sainthood herself. St. Patrick's Old Cathedral played a major role in the making of New York City and the nation. It continues to thrive today, serving this vibrant neighborhood now known as Nolita. That stands for North of Little Italy. It's chock full of adorable boutiques, restaurants, and charming residential buildings. I feel a great energy and spirit for life in this neighborhood. It's filled with a mix of cultures, families, artists, and professionals. St. Patrick's Old Cathedral welcomes them all. Liturgies are celebrated in English, Spanish, and Chinese. How wonderfully American. Nolita offers an eclectic selection of restaurants if you're hungry. I like to stop in at Panino Sportivo at 26 Prince Street for real Italian coffee with Italian toast smothered in chocolatey Nutella topped with sliced banana. Mangia! I hope you enjoyed the story about old New York and the venerable Pierre Toussaint. He was a son, a brother, a loving husband, a devoted uncle, a successful businessman, a philanthropist, a slave, and he could very well be the first African-American saint.